You might recognize comedian Nick Offerman for his role as Ron Swanson, the macho and libertarian parks director on NBC's Parks and Recreation.
Under my tutelage, you will grow from boys into men, from men into gladiators, and from gladiators into Swansons.
Or maybe you know him from the commercials he did for Sling TV with his wife, Will and Grace star Megan Mullally.
We're slingers.
You heard that right, boss. We sling.
Hey, kids. Want to sling with us?
The freedom is exhilarating.
Woo!
Nick. Well, this fall, Offerman is touring the country with a new stand-up comedy show called All Rise, in which he tells jokes and sings a number of original songs. Nick Offerman joins me now in the studio. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
And we should point out at the beginning, you're not Ron Swanson, even though you look like him.
Well, I
sound like him.
Yeah, I'm working with the same toolbox. But yeah, he's much more brilliantly written than I am, unfortunately.
Now, you call this show a revival. And at the beginning, you say you want to avoid the low-hanging fruit of the current political climate.
That's right.
Why?
Because I feel like the national mood and really the global mood in the places I've been touring is that things are dire. Things are fraught. And we're all worried. I'm worried and I'm astonished at the misbehavior of our supposed leaders. And so the last thing I want to do is remind the audience of that situation. And so I try to instead poke fun at what it is about humanity that has gotten us in this trouble without actually focusing on the specific trouble.
And poke fun at masculinity.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that comes up a great deal. Ron Swanson, my character from Parks and Rec, was considered very masculine. I'm often accused of masculinity. And, you know, I was born looking like this and I sound like this. You know, I did not cultivate. I don't go to the gym. I'm not chasing masculinity. And so it's always seemed a little strange to me as a mincing theater artist to be accused of being manly. I am pretty handy at splitting firewood or changing a tire, but so are the women in my family. And so I use it as an opportunity to encourage people to try and loosen their ideas about genderizing everything. I know ladies that are great woodworkers, and I know men that make an amazing quiche, and everything across every spectrum in between.
What does it mean to you to be a man?
Well, gosh, to me, it means standing up for one's principles first and foremost. It means being true to your word and having good manners and pursuing decency. It doesn't mean, you know, getting in a fist fight or any of the habits that are associated with misogyny. I think good manners and the sensitivity to show one's emotions are something that's much more manly and require more bravery than acts of violence or feats of physical strength.
Well, and we said that you say you don't want to go after the political humor so much, but you do to some degree in your show. You talk about gun ownership for one thing.
Yeah, it's hard to get around when there's low-hanging fruit on the ground.
Gotta eat
sometimes
it.
You step on it, yeah. I mean, the gun thing is baffling to me. In my show, I simply say I personally would be terrified of having a gun because I, like everyone else in the world, am stupid. I don't need a gun. And so don't give me – like I also don't need a chainsaw around the house. So don't give me one, you know, that my kid can maybe play with. Those things are dangerous.
Do you think that sometimes people come to your show – and are surprised by your humor? Maybe they think they're coming to see Ron Swanson.
Yeah, I think there is a small percentage of the audience that sadly is not very good at watching television. I've had people get quite angry with me when they come to learn that Parks and Rec was not a documentary. And I try to be gentle with them because I want them to hear what I have to say, and I'm interested and respectful of what they have to say. But yeah, it's a funny thing when people see a cleverly written comedy character and are somehow able to extrapolate a real-life personal heroism from that.
What are you watching on TV now? What do you like, especially in the comedy side of things?
Well, the thing that leaps to mind, a couple of British series recently, Catastrophe and Fleabag.
Fleabag, right. Just won a bunch of Emmys.
Yeah, that... my wife is an incredible creative director in our household, and she does the picking for almost everything in our lives, and it's great. It takes so much off my plate. I don't have to keep up with anything. I say, what are we watching now? She says, this show called Fleabag. So we were – both Fleabag and Succession, we were on board because of her acumen. Immediately, like a year before any, you know, before the world was like, hey, this is amazing. We were like, yeah.
How does she influence your comedy?
Well, she's actually directing this comedy show.
Uh-huh.
So she directly influences it by me saying, honey, please come see my show and tell me what to cut and what to improve. She affects it. I mean, we're just collaborators. I mean, we love to see each other work, and then we love knowing one another's strengths and weaknesses. We then love to say, hey, you're doing that funny voice. You don't have to do that when you're playing that one bit. That's how she directly affects it. She indirectly affects it because I think I'm usually trying to make someone laugh when I'm chasing comedy. Either it's Megan or my best friend or like my siblings or my cousin growing up. But these days, you know, last 20 years, it's usually Megan. Like if I was to do something right now to try and make you laugh, I'm really trying to make her laugh. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that tool set. And so she is not only my wife and my best friend, but she's my teacher in a lot of ways. She's also just a comedy legend. She's like a walking Mel Brooks movie. And so it's, you know, it'd be silly and masculine of me to not take advantage of the fact that my wife is a champion in the very sport that I try to excel at.
Okay, I want to ask you one more thing before we ask you to play a song for us. And that is, you went to college in my hometown of Champaign-Urbana, Illinois.
I did.
Did you enjoy your time there?
Oh, sure. I mean, I grew up in the 70s and 80s in small town Illinois, and it was very much a cultural vacuum. And when I got to Champaign-Urbana, to my first college town, it blew my mind. It was so incredibly formative. Quite specifically, the theater department, the facility called the Krannert Center. But then even more specifically, there was a teacher named Shozo Sato who taught this whole program of Japanese arts. And he created this thing called Japan House, which is still there. You can learn tea ceremony and Zen meditation in a Japanese garden-like setting. So it's like a park with a bridge over a pond. And that's just one of the jewels of this great university, you know. That was incredibly eye-opening to me to say, oh, wow, culture is everywhere. And I
can still smell the cows just a mile away.
Absolutely. there is that. It's got a charming fecundity to it. But I just had an amazing time, and I think I never would have, you know, become whatever success that I've had has a lot to do with what I learned in that town and the time I had there.
Okay, well, now that you've talked about a Japanese garden and a tea ceremony, I think this is a perfect opportunity for you to play your song, I'm Not Ron Swanson.
Very well, yes. Now that I've set up a temple-like atmosphere, let me destroy that. Most of my songs, I want to say, are written with a guy who played around here for a lot of his life named Mark Rivers. I don't have the talent to write this music, so I write most of the words, and then he comes up with... And he always writes the best joke in every song. I understand you've come to love another man. He's studly and heroic, so I completely understand. But now your expectations are a little high, I fear. 'Cause if I had to live like him, I'd be dead within a year. So he can eat a big-ass steak for every single meal. 'Cause his colon is fictitious.
while mine is all too real. And his scotch intake, well, it would be my liver's doom. 'Cause mine is controlled by nature and his by the whims of the writer's room. I'm not Ron Swanson. Hear me shout it from sea to sea, from Texas to Wisconsin. He only lives in your goddamn TV. I'm not Don Draper or Gomer Pyle, and I'm certainly not the Fonz. Please understand, these are my own mortal hands, not Ron's. Flawless.
Nick Offerman, thank you so much for coming in and for singing for us, too.
My pleasure. There's no accounting for taste.
That is comedian Nick Offerman, who is currently touring the country with his show All Rise. You can find more information about where to see him at hereandnow.org.